Hi, how's it going? My name is Connor Gilson, and I am the president of CG Consulting. And this will actually be my second time recording this podcast. I recorded it last night. I don't know what happened, but it was being recorded, and I got about to the 30-minute mark, swiped over to the app to check to see like if we're at like how far we were, and it was paused at, I think, 4 seconds. No, it was like 4 minutes, but yeah, so everything that I had worked on, everything that I had, done had been not recorded. So that was exciting. I was very excited about it nonetheless. But so I'm redoing it again. I didn't want to do it last night after I tried because I figured that if I did do it again, I wouldn't have as much energy and excitement doing it because I had already done it. And I don't want to do that. I want this podcast to be very helpful to you guys and very beneficial. So let's jump back into this. Lately, we've been talking about what type of marketing that we can use, and that is a multifaceted thing. It can be our business, our brand, our personal brand. It can be the way we act, the way we talk, things like that. So big things there, but let's jump into this information. One of my favorite things to do is to connect people. Whether it's you connecting with other people or you bringing people together, things like that is going to be far more beneficial to you. When you do that, you'll leverage your time so you're connecting with as many potential clients as possible in the shortest amount of time. And then you're going to leverage that power of the communities that you build by bridging these people together. And when you do that, when you bring people together, they will always, 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 always create far more energy and excitement than you can on your own. Now, there's a lot of people that have a lot of energy that inspire people, that motivate people, and that's great. That's awesome. And I love that. I'd like to think that personally I can do that. But I would definitely say that when it comes to energy and excitement, the more people, the better. So when you start bridging people together, you take one person here and one person here, and you merge them together and introduce them, then you're going to be not only helping them and yourselves, you're going to be building something special. So that's something that I think you should do. And then people that are new to your business, things like that. If you have guests, like if you do a podcast and people hear interviews from other business owners, then your guests are going to also see that other people are interested in what you have to offer. And that's the best way to build credibility. You'll be viewed as a really cool person as well, because if you're known in your marketplace as someone who brings people together, that will help you build your reputation and increase your likability. And we talked about that a couple nights ago about how important likability is when in anything, when we're trying to get promoted, when we're trying to get a job, when we're trying to get new clients, everything. Likability is the currency of progression. And that's something that will help is you'll be very viewed as really cool when you bring people together. A few questions you can ask that I wrote down to try to help you understand the value of what you do and what you bring to a prospect is how much income will your service create? Okay, so if you're doing a service or you're selling a product that's going to help people save money or things like that, how much income will that service create? It's a little bit easier to think about that when you're in the service industry, but if you do something else, like sell a product, maybe what you do saves time. For example, I have Philips Hue lights. I have quite a few in my house. I don't have all my lights yet, Philips Hue, but I do plan on doing it. It saves me so much time in two kind of departments. They do really cool things. I mean, they beat to music. I can set up my phone so it watches the TV and they will respond to what's on my TV, all different stuff. But one of my two things that I really, really like about them is I have Google in my house. I have a Google Assistant. I have Google Minis. So if I say, okay, now I'll try to whisper it so it doesn't pick it up. Okay, Google. It will, yeah, it just did. It will listen to me, and I'm gonna pause because it's still listening to me. Okay. But when I say that, I can actually turn on my lights, turn off my lights, I can set them different colors, things like that. That's a lot easier. Like if I accidentally leave the lights in my living room and go to bed, I can easily tell Google to shut them off for me. Same thing when I'm leaving. And so let's go back to that. That saves a lot of time for me, right? And then when I'm leaving my house, instead of having to go through my house and shutting off all the lights or leaving them on and costing myself electricity, once I get past a certain mile rate, or I think it's like a half a mile away from my house, they all will shut off. Same thing when I come home at night, they'll all turn on. So I don't fumble around in the dark for my keys to try to turn them on. It's all done for me. And that's really, really something I enjoy. But that's the thing. Even that type of product, it saves me time, which time is important to me, and time is valued as money, in my opinion. And that's how it's, saving me. So if you're not in the service industry and you're selling a product that saves people money and time and they can focus on other things, then yes, your service or product can create income even. How long will you cr Will what you create, and this is gonna, most of these are gonna be for the service industry, how long will what you create be a productive, useful resource for the client? So, with technology and how things are constantly changing, we have things that will build people that will last a certain amount of time. Some things last long, some things don't, some things are more short term, but we want to keep that in mind. How long will the system that we build for a client or a prospect, how long will it pump out money for them? Also, how much pain will you relieve? When we're selling, we want to focus on what our clients and prospects' pain points are. And I don't say that in the way that is traditionally said, that you should focus on the pain points because that's going to manipulate them into buying from you. No. You should focus on the pain points because that's what the customer is looking for the solution to. They're trying to find the solution, the fix, so they don't have to be in pain when it comes to that anymore. So the way you do that is by looking for those pain points and then working on, fixing those. Also, how much pleasure will you create? How much free time will they get? How much ease of, of the things that are going on around them, how much pleasure will you what you do for them or sell them bring to them? Also, how are you helping your client connect to their purpose or spirit? So now I think that the most motivated and successful people are people that have a purpose or they're very in touch with who they are inside their soul. They're very empowered and strengthened. And if we can sell to that, if we can help a customer connect to that purpose and spirit, it's going to help them. Also, it's going to help us because we're helping people connect to who they are. And we can even do that by finding people that aren't very good or don't very much know what they want and then help them see that plan. And then will your work create substantial and long-lasting peace of mind? So, it kind of goes into the how much pleasure will it create. If your product or service can create long-lasting peace of mind, it's so much better. Jumping back to my lights, they have a 25-year lifespan, which is funny because a lot of people complain about how expensive they are. They're $50 a bulb, which if you compare to a traditional light bulb for what, a dollar maybe, or 50 cents for a bulb, I guess we use what, fluorescents now? So maybe like $1, $2, $3 a bulb, depending on which one you get. But compared to that, $50 light bulb, right? Kind of crazy. But the thing with that is, They have a 25-year lifespan on them. So that means I can buy them slowly if I want to. I've actually bought them in chunks for a while. But buy them slowly and cover my whole house. And then if one goes after 25 years, then they definitely make their money back because they also use way less electricity than other things. So long-lasting peace of mind. I don't have to worry about changing lights in my house like ever anymore, unless I'm putting in a new bulb. And that's soothing to me. But how does your product do that? My teaching of psychology helps strengthen people so that they know even not only now, but down the road they'll be able to benefit from what I'm using. And another thing that we're going to want to focus on is that people will rarely buy professional services based solely on price. In fact, people are going to express their values through what they buy, so really just let them. Interesting thing, like if you look at something simple like a car, there's people that are going to buy cars that are, the type of people that, oh, I just need something that gets me to point A to point B. Not personally how I view cars, but there are people that that's what it is. It's just a tool to them. There's no lifestyle attachment to it. There's no sign of pride or power or anything like that. It's not a symbol to them, things like that. But there's people that buy cars for a lot of different reasons for pleasure. Whether it's they like, going fast. They like better handling. They like the way they feel when they're in the car. They like the prestige of certain cars. Some people collect them. Some people like the feel of certain cars. I personally have a thing where I very much like the quality of German cars over anything else, because if you close a German car's door, it's much more rigid and like it's a thud instead of like an American car where they're kind of flimsy. But there's also people that buy cars to act as a symbol of all the work they've done, and this is the car that I can get. I actually was watching somebody on YouTube the other night. And they just bought their dream car, which was a Corvette Stingray, which they've always dreamed about. And he said that he didn't buy it to show other people that he could buy it. He bought it for himself to show him that that's the reward for working hard and putting all the effort in and hitting his goals. And I thought that was actually a pretty beautiful, pure meaning there. But some people will buy some of, people will buy services from service providers for much higher prices if they view that there's more prestige from buying from them. So what you really need to focus on is that only you can offer a particular combination of services, skills, talent, and personality. Only you can. That's the only person that's going to do that. The only person that can offer the exact combination of information, style of communication, and value that makes you so uniquely you is you. Yes, and that's the thing. That's why I hate when people are asked, what do you do? And they say, oh, I'm a real estate agent, or oh, I'm a lawyer, or oh, I sell cars. That's not what you are. What you are is your services, your skills, your talent, and personality all combined in one. You can go from one lawyer to another lawyer, but lawyers are only going to, certain lawyers are only going to appeal to you, whereas others aren't. It's based on what they value. And there's people that, I might like a certain lawyer, I might like an aggressive lawyer. Some people may like some like lawyers that are tame and more understanding and calm and more analytical, but not as rash. So that's the thing. And that's the biggest injustice that you can do to yourself by trying, and sometimes it's in good faith and it's by accident. We watch somebody on YouTube or we listen to a podcast and we get all ramped up and we're excited and we like them and we start changing ourselves to be more like them. It's a imitation is a very normal thing when it comes to humans. And sometimes it's good. There's some traits that I have pulled from other people. When I was younger, I would actually, on a psychological level, mimic people that I was very close to. If they had certain sayings, I would pick them up and say them constantly. If they had certain mannerisms, I would adapt. In fact, if I'm talking to somebody, it still happens, if I'm talking to somebody that has an accent for long enough, I will develop that accent as well. So there's times where it's going to happen. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes the mannerisms we pick up is correct. But that's where we need to focus. When we pick up certain things from other people, are we betraying ourselves? Are we betraying the value and the specialty and the passion that we have by wanting to be more like someone else? Are we violating the definition of who we are? And sometimes that can happen quite often. So we want to be careful of doing that. But as far as going back to more of the analytical part, pricing, okay? There's a lot of ways you can price. You can price your services or products, you know, slightly below your market. Some people do massively below your market to try to get out there and get into people's hands and become a household name. Some people, you know, price at market, like where everybody else in that, you know, line is. Some people do higher prestige marketing, whereas like if you choose to price your services or products at a price point higher than is typical for your industry, in order to create a sense of prestige when someone buys one of your products or when they mention your company. And it's interesting because you may serve fewer clients, but a lot of the cases you'll end up making more money. So prestige pricing is actually a pretty good idea. Another one is kind of more of a fluent pricing module, which you can do with businesses and services and things like that. I like to use free sessions, free webinars. I like to use that as far as closing business. I've used webinars where I just educate and teach people about how to do something, and they have come and asked me to start, you know, doing it for them for a fee. But one of my favorite things that I used to do, and I haven't done this in a while, which I'm actually going to start doing, especially as the podcast is starting to pick up, is I would include an offer in certain products and things like that for a 20-minute laser like coaching session, and I would filter that into my sales cycle. But it was only after someone had demonstrated that they were serious about learning from me. If like someone signed up for my newsletter, downloaded one of my ebooks, things like that, information products, I would then send them, you know, to that or give them that offer. And most of the times they would have to have I was kind of very, very strict with it, okay? Like I would have them, you know, fill out a questionnaire where I'd ask all the questions about their business. They'd fill that out so I would know as soon as, and I would usually have them email me before the meeting, so I had that in my hand. So as soon as we got on the phone, we started talking business plan. It was a good way to keep that 20 minutes instead of wasting on asking questions. I could just lay out the business plan there, and that was something that's free. And they would have to schedule the session using my public calendar on my website. I made only a few spots available on Friday afternoons so that actually after a while, a waiting list and a very long waiting list developed. This way, I didn't look like I was just sitting around twiddling my thumbs, not having enough work that I was actually getting paid for doing that. And that was mostly the case. I mean, there's some Fridays, like Fridays, sometimes I would take off and I would just do those sessions. But because I only had a few slots, it started to build kind of a prestige around it. A big thing was I didn't take people wasting my time. If you did that, I would you would never get a chance at a free coaching session again, a free business plan like my like brainstorm or anything like that. You wouldn't get it. If somebody had a session with me and they canceled and they didn't reschedule within 24 hours notice, that's it. You had to call me. You had to call me and reschedule 24 hours before. If you wanted to call me a couple hours before and tell me that you couldn't make it to that meeting, unless it was a very good reason, and oh, there's a lot of people that tried and did not go well for them. But if you did not have a good reason and you called me like 5, 10, or during that day of that webinar or that meeting, you wouldn't get it. It's done. Also, in fact, another thing is if they were more than a few minutes late to that phone session or Skype call, I wouldn't pick up. Nope. But what I would do is 1 week before the scheduled session, I'd send them an email to remind them to get the exercises done, to fill out the form, to fill out the questionnaire. This helped because if they had not already done it, it got them to start thinking about it, right? Getting clients to consume your work is as important as getting them to hire you. Like, I can't stress that enough. And if you don't have any type of monitoring, and actually, as I'm like talking about this, I don't remember because, like I said, I've recorded this podcast already last night. I don't know if I said this last night or if it was in my previous podcast, but I will say it again. If I am repeating myself and it was in 2 nights ago podcast, I do apologize. But if you are listening and you're one of those people that have, when you listen to this on Anchor, and you have, and it pops up and says one other listener or one web listener, sign up for Anchor. Please do it. Okay. It doesn't cost anything. They don't like constantly email you. Sign up for it. And then when you play this, you can, it will show me that you're listening. Because there's one person that does not miss, it doesn't say a name, but they do not miss one of my podcasts. And I think that is great. And I want to reward people that are putting the effort in and learning. Because you have no idea how difficult it is to keep this podcast in your mind when it's free. Now, it's interesting because I had a friend that did a, and I'm gonna go over this real quickly because I'm starting to think that I did do it in 2 nights ago's podcast, but I don't remember. But he had a smoking program that he started at very, very cheap to help people, and he was doing it out of the kindness of his heart. He wanted to do it cheaper so that it wouldn't like hurt people. He did it cheaper to teach them how to stop smoking. That wasn't really working too good, not really that good of a success rate. Then he raised the price up to $1,200 a month, and all of a sudden his results skyrocketed. And there's been studies about that, is that when a human pays a significant amount of money for something, they tend to want to put their effort into it more so. So the fact that you're listening to this podcast every single day, and there's some of you that aren't listening to them the next day as soon as they come out, but you catch up, you do it in bursts, and you catch up, and that's good. I'm starting to get viewers on my Apple Music or Apple account as well. There's a few other podcasts, areas where this thing's popping up, and people are starting to listen to it. They found it all on their own. But you people that are listening to this podcast and taking it seriously and applying it when it's free, it shows me something special. It shows me that you are more motivated than other people and that you are taking seriously what I'm saying. And so, if you are listening to this and your name isn't popping up every day and it's just saying other listener or computer listener, sign up for an account because there will be a time when I release a product or an info thing and I do talk about it on here and I will give you a discount because of how seriously you're taking the podcast. So if you are not doing that, if you're just an anonymous name, make sure that you're on there. All right. But as far as going, let's go back to pricing. There's nothing wrong with saying that you're fortunate to be in high demand and are raising your prices so that you can give more attention to your clients. There's never that problem. That is not something you should fear. Like I said before in other podcasts, if you have clients that have been with you for a while and you don't want to like crush them out, or you want to, you know, keep the relationship fresh, then don't raise it for them, or raise it at a fraction. Explain it to them that, hey, you know, I have to raise my prices right now. Everybody else is going up this percentage. I'm only going to raise you there to this just because I really respect, you know, our business relationship. Okay? So, going on to the next thing, as far as getting the word out there, right? You're going to want to find methods and techniques that you like. And I'm going to give you a few tonight, and hopefully they do help you. But I don't want you just to stop there. I want you to keep looking for techniques and methods you like as far as helping yourself get new clients. When you have fundamental solutions and a desire to help others, that's going to become your moral imperative to show and tell, if not literally everyone, as many people as you can. Because you are going to be changing lives. And sometimes we think we have to save people's lives or do something extravagant to change their life. We have to give them, you know, we have to win the lottery and give them a, like, you know, $1 million or something like that, to change people's lives. No, you. That's what a lot of people don't get. They oversee these so much in their life. They don't understand how very little things in life can change. If you drop a coin in a bathtub, the whole water will get all like wavy. That's all it really takes. And even when it comes to, and I mentioned this in my series about mindset, if you change five things a year about your core beliefs for the better, you will be a radically different person at the end of the year. And it's the same thing with here. You don't, in order to change lives, you don't have to get somebody to become a multi-billionaire. You just alleviate one or two or three pain points in their life and make it easier for them to do their career or their business or their company, or you help them with through a situation or something like that. That's how you change lives. And that's something that we need to focus on. One of the good ways to do this is each business day, introduce two people within your network who do not yet know each other, but you think might benefit from knowing each other. So maybe they're both in the same field or share some business connection. Maybe it's a, you know, a real estate agent and a lawyer. Maybe it's a lawyer and a CPA. Maybe it's a, you know, warehouse distributor and a retail stores outlet. Like anything that really works with each other, or you think that they could help each other, introduce them. And it's funny because if you think about this, if you have 10 people, right? Let's start small. I think everybody has 10 people. And even if you're brand new to being an entrepreneur, I think everybody has 10 people that they know that were entrepreneur or that are entrepreneurs before them, that, you know, they got their motivation from, people that they met in some type of networking thing. I think everybody knows 10 people. And it's interesting because those 10 people can create 45 connections. Because once you introduce one and three, well, three and one have, you have to introduce them to everybody else that isn't one and three. And the same thing goes on and on. That's 45 connections that you bring in. And like I mentioned earlier, when you are connecting people to each other and people notice that, and you're building, because you're not just telling people. Like I could easily say, I could easily say, hey, you know what? Go find 10 people and like tell them what you do, or tell other people, you know, what you do. But with Or I can say, hey, go network, right? That's where the idea was going. It got a little lost in translation in my brain there for a second. But I can say, hey, you know, go network, go meet people. But if I'm the person helping people network by taking those 10 people and introducing them all to each other, And you don't have to do it all at once. I don't want no chain emails where you're just like, or mass emails where you're like, hi, this is, meet this person, and you like give them the, no, I don't want that. Like if you write an email like, hey, this is blah 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 from Castles Realty, and this is, Joe McMoney Man from, this financing service. I want to introduce you guys, because one, Joe is, looking for actual is, rental properties. He may be getting into investing soon. He really likes his job, and that's, something that I think that you could help him with. And then also for you, I think that you can, as far as a real estate agent, he has some really good ideas about how to keep books a lot cleaner, how to, get more as far as like taxes back. And I think you guys could be really helpful. Doesn't have to be long, it can be pretty simple and short like that. But if you introduce people, you're, and I don't want you to focus on this one part when I say it, but when you introduce people, you're kind of standing up above them and helping them. Oh man, part of me just cringed quite a bit by saying that. You don't want to become the dictator or become ego-driven and powerful and be like, oh my God, I'm making all these people meet and whoa, I am awesome. Like, don't get to that. But I mean, people are going to respect you and look up to you when you do that. And it's going to help your business. It will kill your business if you take that humble wanting to get people to meet and you focus on how it can get you clients and you do it only for that. It will destroy you. It will literally destroy every single person that you do it with, their viewpoint of you and whether they should ever work with you. I promise you, it will happen. I've watched it happen before. If you want to do that and help people, that's one thing. But if you're doing it for, that's one of the things. Like, in the Bible, it says that if you do something for somebody and then you bring attention to it, look at them because they did this, that your reward is paid in full. So anytime you do something and then try to bring credit or attention to yourself, then your reward is paid in full. And it's interesting because if you just weren't such a showboat, it probably would pay off more in the long run. So keep in mind that. So yeah, so do that. So 10 people turns into 45. Bump that 10 people up to 20 people, and you've got 190 connections now, okay? And that's, people are going to start helping you and introducing people to you because you're helping them, things like that. Another thing you want to do is buy books. I mean, we already did that task a couple days ago where you would write down a list and start buying the 5 books that I did, and hopefully you guys did it. Hopefully. I'm hoping you value my word enough to do things that help you. I'm hoping for it. But your investment in books, buying them and reading them, will pay dividends that you can never even freaking imagine, ever. Like, because you'll read something that changes your mind or it changes your life. There's a few things that I've read where it has just shaped my whole future up until this point. Once per week, what I want you to do, and a few of you that are listening to it know I do this. Once per week, send a book to someone with whom you'd like to develop a meaningful business relationship. I've had friends that I was helping, and wrote them, or I sent them a book, and their response was, "Aw, you like me? You're flirting with me." Nope, I do this. This is what I do. I send books to people when I'm trying to either help them or build a business relationship. It's just my thing. That's what I do. But do that once per week. And maybe you can't afford that. I mean, some of us are bootstrapping like crazy and we can't afford sending a book once a week, but maybe once a month, send a book. And then see if you can up it to twice a month, okay? And then go from there. But send a book to someone that you want to develop a relationship for. And now, interesting, I didn't say a meaningful, lucrative business relationship, I said meaningful business relationship. There are some business relationships that I have that never have I ever, oh my God, am I playing that game now? Am I a teenager again? Never have I ever spent a dime on anything that they do, and they've never ever spent a dime on anything I do. And I'm still very, very close to them, and we still help each other out. So it's not about lucrative or how you're going to make money or things like that. Okay? Each day, if you can do this, send personally or professionally relevant articles to three people in your network. And I know you're saying, oh my God, Connor, how much time do you think I have? Do you think I just sit on my computer and just stare and play Minesweeper all day? I almost said Minecraft. Minesweeper all day? Like, do you think that's what I do? Okay. If you can do that, if you can actually send personally or professionally relevant articles to three people in your network, you have no idea how helpful that will eventually become to you. So you can bicker and you can whine and complain about how you don't want to do that or you don't have the free time. And I'm not even going to argue with you here. I'm telling you a tip that can benefit you. If you do it long term, it will help you. Same thing as the whole book thing and everything like that. So you either use it or you don't. Simple as that. That's the interesting thing about this podcast. A lot of the information I'm giving you to help you is super simple. It's all about execution. Okay? If you don't execute on it, then you're never going to move anywhere. And sometimes we take things that seem easy and simple and be like, no, that won't work. It's too easy. It's too simple. It would be happening for everybody if they were doing that. And like, oh, and I'm sending a book to somebody once a week. If that worked, people would do it. I would have heard it before. One thing you gotta learn about me, I don't talk out of my butt. I really wanna turn this podcast into explicit. I do not talk out of it. The things that I mention and I talk about are things that I have used. The only time I will mention a technique or something that I haven't used is when I will say, disclaimer, I haven't done this. I've heard this from someone else, but I haven't tried it yet. Proceed at your own risk. Proceed with caution. Another thing. No matter what, you will absolutely keep in touch with everyone you meet from this point forward. There is no, oh, but I don't really enjoy this person. Unless they are completely belligerent, abusive, or just god-awful business people, you will, from now on, keep in touch with everyone that you meet from this point forward. If your head is spinning, build a database. It's super easy in 2018. CRMs, I remember when CRMs were first a big thing and you'd have to pay like $100 at the least a week, and I saw ones that were like $1,000 a month. If you don't know what a CRM is, if go online, look on at Google, I can give you kind of breakdowns, a way you can keep all contacts. A lot of them have emailers built in, so you can shoot off an email. It keeps it all in like kind of this straight form conversation. You can write notes, you can like escalate them to different points in the like sales conversion funnel, things like that. One of my favorite ones, it's actually free. Like, this is the stuff that drives me up the wall. It drives me nuts that I tell a customer or I tell a consulting client, you need to start using CRMs because you need to start keeping track of the people you're interacting with and keeping good focus on it. HubSpot, all right, HubSpot is free. When I first started doing this, I was paying $500 a month for my CRM. $500 a month that I now use something for free. And it's good. It's good free. You know those things like you can't get anything good for free, you get what your money's worth. The HubSpot is good. It's very good. So that is a big tool that you should use. Keep track of these people. send emails. You can send emails directly from the whole program. But yeah, check it out, HubSpot. And now, for now on, keep them. Every person you meet, keep them in that. You should be building lists. You should be building email lists, because that's how you make money. It's 2018. It's been how you make money for a long time. I will say that a website will fade from usefulness before an email list or a contact list will ever fail. There will always be contact lists. There has to be. There's no way it will ever end. And if it does end, you can walk up to me personally and slap me in the face, but it's not going to happen. I can see into the future on that stuff. Okay. Get response. Another one. If you want to send out email newsletters in mass amounts, like whether it's a special offer, whether it's an article, things like that, get response. That one does cost money. I don't remember how much because I haven't used it in a couple months. But I still have all my lists saved. I'm just not sending emails right now, which is stupid on my part. But I am using Facebook and other things like that. But I kind of tend to give my email list a break for a little bit, and then I send the email and I get a lot more clicks and a lot more sales because they're like, oh man, I thought he died. But that's, I wouldn't say, like, disclaimer here, I wouldn't recommend doing it that way. I would recommend being consistent because you'll get better results that way. But that is about it for this webinar. Oh my God, I just did it again, didn't I? I should just smooth over it. I should see like how many people notice it. I wish there was like comment section so people could pick on me and laugh at me about how many times I keep saying webinar. But yeah, on this last part on this podcast. But yeah, you know, it's exciting. It's all exciting. So that's some tips there for that. I think that's, yeah, that's pretty much it for that. Tomorrow night we're going to go into the big things: Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, not really that much, YouTube, SEO, things like that. All right, I will see you guys tomorrow. Have a good rest of your night, and I will be talking to you later.